D-Day for mandated tower closures is postponed. Boeing says half of its Dreamliner testing is complete. And the Raptor is flying again. This is Aero News for Monday, April 8, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA said Friday it will delay the closures of all 149 federal contract air traffic control towers until June 15th. Last month, the FAA announced it would eliminate funding for these towers as part of the agency's required $637 million budget cuts under sequestration. This additional time will allow the agency to attempt to resolve multiple legal challenges to the closure decisions. As part of the tower closure implementation process, the agency continues to consult with airports and operators and review appropriate risk mitigations. Extending the transition deadline will give the FAA and airports more time to execute the changes to the national airspace system. A phased 4-week closure process was scheduled to have begun yesterday, April the 7th. That phased closure process will no longer occur. Instead, the FAA will stop funding all 149 towers on June 15th, and will close the facilities unless the airports decide to continue operations as a non-federal contract tower. As of Friday, approximately 50 airport authorities and other stakeholders had indicated they may join the FAA's non-federal contract tower program and fund the tower operations themselves. Boeing says that it is halfway through the testing process that it hopes will return the world's 787 fleet to service, with the rest of the ground and flight test coming in a week or so. Boeing presented a potential fix to the lithium-ion battery problem to the FAA on March 15th, and the agency gave its go-ahead for a flight test program. Reuters reports that ground testing is continuing at Boeing's labs in Seattle, and while the testing of the new battery configuration is going more slowly than the company had hoped, it is moving forward. Boeing spokesman Mark Bertel said on Wednesday in a written statement, quote, "We are all working toward returning the 787 fleet to service in the most expeditious manner possible, but we are being thorough and will not shortcut the test and certification process," end quote. The FAA will have to certify the new battery installation, which includes better insulation between battery cells, a better vented, more robust enclosure. The batteries aboard a JAL Dreamliner caught fire while the airplane was sitting at a gate at Boston's Logan International Airport in January. That and other issues with the batteries eventually led to aviation safety agencies worldwide grounding the fleet of 49 delivered airplanes. The F-22 Raptor has resumed normal flight operations after modifications to aircrew life support equipment were completed across the fleet, including the upper pressure garment and related hoses, valves, and connectors. Completion of this task eliminates the need to restrict flight operations to remain within a 30-minute flying distance from an airfield suitable for landing. In May 2011, Air Force officials stood down the F-22 fleet for 4 months. This operational pause enabled the Air Force to accelerate efforts to study, define, and fix the cause of the multiple reports of hypoxia-like illnesses in both pilots and ground crew. After the Air Force Scientific Advisory Board completed its investigative actions in January of 2012, the F-22 Life Support Systems Task Force formed a multi-service, multi-agency team of government, industry, and academic experts to review previous recommendations and findings. This panel concluded that a lack of oxygen quantity was causing the physiological incidents. With the corrective action improvements in place, F-22 air crews have now flown more than 22,270 sorties and more than 27,500 hours since the last previously unexplained incident back in March of 2012. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley on Thursday signed legislation aimed at attracting thousands of additional jobs to his state. The Alabama Commercial Aviation Business Improvement Act will help the state recruit more aerospace industry suppliers. Those suppliers are expected to locate in the region as Airbus builds its first U.S.-based production facility in Mobile, Alabama. Groundbreaking for the Airbus facility is scheduled for next week. The bill will protect the rights of Alabama citizens to bring suit against manufacturers, but will also protect manufacturers from out-of-state and foreign plaintiffs who may seek to file suit in Alabama simply because the manufacturer located its plant there. Governor Bentley said, quote, "Without this bill, suppliers could very easily choose to build in Florida or Mississippi, which already have similar laws. With this legislation, Alabama is now on a level playing field, and we can recruit more supplier jobs for people in our state," end quote. Already, Airbus will directly provide some 1,000 jobs in Mobile, and more than 3,000 people will be employed in the construction phase of the Airbus facility. As suppliers move in, thousands of additional jobs could result as well. When Aero News continues, crushing a super fort to save a flying fort, a new group joins the alphabet, and space hacking, a good thing?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, April the 8th. I'm Glenn Warrior. For the first time in its 29-year history, the Georgia Museum of Aviation is cutting 32 aircraft from its inventory. The Macon Telegraph newspaper reports some will be moved to other museums or put into storage, but others, among them a Cold War iconic B-52 Stratofortress, will be scrapped. Museum Director Ken Emery says the move was brought on by cuts in Air Force personnel back in 2011. Those cuts eliminated 11 civilian positions and left the museum without the personnel to maintain the aircraft, many of which are on static display outdoors and are literally rusting away. One of the most notable is a B-52 Superfortress, one of the museum's largest aircraft. Emery says the Superfort is the plane he most hates to lose, but admits the museum has neither the money or the personnel to restore it. A specialized machine will be brought in later this year to tear it apart and crush it. But as the old saying goes, within every dark cloud there is a silver lining. Emery says that by downsizing its collection, the museum will be in a better position to acquire other prized aircraft, especially a distant cousin of the Superfort, a World War II B-17 Flying Fortress. By cutting the 32 planes from its rolls, the museum will open up needed hangar space and thereby hopes the National Museum of the Air Force will give them the desired B-17. The Air Force has 16 B-17s at its museums nationwide, and 9 of those are outdoors. The Georgia Museum believes one should be given to them because it could be hangared indoors. As painful as this downsizing may be, museum officials say it is the right move to make, and it will benefit the museum in the long run. After a meeting described as positive with the FAA, the entrepreneurs behind Hoverfly Technologies are moving forward to create a new industry association and a flight school certification program for aerial robot operators across the nation. Hoverfly, which develops remotely piloted aerial robots that enable nearly hands-free flight and effortless video capture in the air, met with Michael K. Wilson, the Southern Region Program Manager for Unmanned Aircraft Systems at the FAA, on March 25th. During the meeting, it became evident that an industry standard for operation safety needed to be established before Hoverfly could move forward in creating a new flight school. In response, Hoverfly reached out to community and other interested leaders and formed a group to establish a new industry association, the Aerial Robotics Industry Association, or ARIA. ARIA's goal is to set the standards for the safe operation of aerial robotics for commercial use and thereby advance the growing community of professional pilots. ARIA will set safety standards and certifications will be granted by ARIA for flight schools around the country. Hoverfly Technologies will be starting its own ARIA-certified flight school immediately. Instruction will focus on safe operation of aerial robotics and will be based on the ARIA Fly Safe Standard. Citizen scientists and hardware hackers usually a bad thing, will learn how to do space on the cheap at the first Space Hacker Workshop for Suborbital Experiments, being held May 4th and 5th at the Hacker Dojo in Mountain View, California, literally across the street from the NASA Ames Research Center. Participants at the two-day workshop will learn how they can build and fly experiments in space and even fly in space as citizen astronauts through the Citizens in Space program. The workshop is sponsored by the Citizens in Space, a project of the United States Rocket Academy and the Silicon Valley Space Center. The Space Hacker Workshop, I still have trouble wrapping my head around that, will provide hands-on exposure to a variety of microcontrollers, sensors, imaging systems, and other components. And with those components, participants will learn how to design and build microgravity, fluid physics, life science, and engineering experiments. Project Manager Edward Wright will be on hand to discuss the Citizens in Space flight opportunities for experiments and citizen astronauts, including an exclusive glimpse at citizen astronaut training activities planned for this summer. Citizens in Space has purchased 10 flights on the X-Core Lynx spacecraft, now under construction at the Mojave Air and Spaceport, which will be made available to the citizen science community. So who knows? Maybe you will prove to have the right stuff. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.